Today, we're talking about protecting our seniors, whether it's you, your parents, or your grandparents. You will see 10 topics before you, which is anticipate before it's too late, spend a little time planning to save a lot of time doing, take advantage of the opportunity of lifetime gift tax exemption, don't skip over generation skipping tax, decrease your chances of an increase in federal income taxes, step up your planning with a step up in basis, plan for long-term care in short order, expect the best but plan for the worst, pay attention to special needs, and prepare your heirs. Ben Carthew of our office here heads our wealth transfer practice group has been a major participant in this. The timing couldn't be better because I have just closed the book on protecting my dad, my senior, who just left this earth and has left a giant hole in our hearts. He was a special, exceptional individual, and we worked real hard while he was in the nursing home and received the honor in his eulogy from the nursing home of saying there were three children that were not more, that were never more committed to his welfare and well-being. I can thank my brother and sister, Kath and Tim, for the daily visits to my father and my best to make weekly visits for the long drive from where I live. But the point here is that overwhelmingly the disproportionate majority of you all may not have the privilege of having the connection of being either close to your children geographically or being close to your parents geographically for those of you on the call who are the next generation of caregivers. And so today we want to focus on some of the tax planning because we are reputed for sophisticated tax planning ideas. And always want that on here because if we can provide you with tax alpha or a return on your investment of trying to do tax planning and saving on taxes, we are doing our job. But some of these topics today will be focused more relevantly on what we can do here and now for your folks or for yourselves. So number one is, please be mindful of incapacity. And one of the quickest ways for someone who is overwhelmingly in great health is to fall. And as you reach a certain point in your life, when you go to the doctor, one of the leading questions will be, how is your balance? Have you fallen recently? Falling is the beginning of a slippery slope. My dad, who was an athlete and worked for New York Life for 60 years, walking throughout the city, had a heart like a locomotive and was always great balance. At 88, he fell and disabled his knee, and that made him become non-ambulatory. Thereafter, he fell and broke his hip, and the life expectancy for those who break their hip for the first 6 months is less than 50%. I would submit to you at that age group, if you fall and break a bone, one that impacts your ability to locomote or to walk, you may live beyond the 6 months. But in the end here, there are many diseases that come attached with being sick, whether it's being in places where there are many sick people like hospitals, nursing homes, and rehab facilities, or just the lack of locomotion that impacts your respiratory system and your circulatory system as you would otherwise get your heart rate up. And my father, to his credit, spent 4 years solving for these issues and lived 4 years, but he probably would be 4 plus 4 years and even longer, his head was clear to the end, if it was not for the falls he had. So number one is be incredibly focused on balance and avoid falling. We were with a client who just fell out of a chair because he was reading and had fallen asleep and fortunately broke no bones, so his recovery was significantly reduced, recovery time. number one. Number two is that at the moment I'm speaking about so positively about those who've had clear heads right into their 80s and frankly into their 90s and maybe even beyond. There are those who are struggling with incapacity and incapacity of mental issues related often frequently to Alzheimer's, but even irrespective of Alzheimer's, which increases annually as your age, as your anniversary of your age crosses your birthday. But just as the mind slows down, those of us in our 40s and 50s and with children and sleeplessness, it impacts our short-term memory as well. Get your documents in place. Put together your healthcare proxies and your powers of attorney so that you've appointed representatives to act on your behalf to do the things that are critical. My dad did that for his children and for me, including me, and that enabled us to speak to the rehab facility and say, here are the issues that we're struggling with. You know, Dad was not taken out of his bed for breakfast this morning. The assisted living facility people did not remember that. Dad is in the bathroom and is in there for 45 minutes and no one has come to get him because they're distracted with other demands. The cell phone was his gift. He would call me in meetings and say, John, help. And I would get on right with the administration and I could do that and say, get a gosh darn aide down to help my father, our father. So having the documents in place, those of you who are in your 40s, 50s, and 60s and have living parents, make sure they have their documents in place so that you can step in and act on their behalf. It's not just the physical issues. It is the declining cognitive issues that we see they are struggling with. This allows us also to focus on the next step, which is part two, spend a little time planning and save a lot of time doing. The probate process is the process, as you all know, of the orderly transfer of assets from one individual to the next when you pass away. That is orchestrated by the government and court-appointed individuals who are also elected, and that is called the surrogates court. And just like you have surrogate mothers, the surrogates are people who step in and serve on behalf of the deceased individual. Here it's my dad. And orchestrate the or oversee our administration process on behalf of my father. So here we've been doing this for almost 30 years, and we are as experienced and fluid and facile as a firm can be in this area, but we are still at the mercy of the time it takes courts. And so we've been doing this work not only in the New York metropolitan area where my dad is, but around the country and, frankly, around the world. And every little dominion has their own protocol and process. We can avoid that if we put together a revocable trust where we move the assets into the trust while loved ones are still alive, and then the transfer of those assets just follow the track of the trust itself. The trust can always be amended and modified while we're alive. But then once we pass, we've set up who should be the beneficiaries, how they should receive it, and how much they should receive. And that's laid out in the revocable trust, and we can avoid the probate process. My dad was a resident of Putnam County. It's already a month since we have submitted the paperwork, and they've indicated to us we'll get to it when we're ready. There could be a million reasons for that. We presume they're all good ones, that they're understaffed, that they have an extraordinary amount of work at the initial time. But in the end, it's we that suffer if we do not address the efficiencies that probate does. Some states, probate is more expensive than others, and so having the assets in a revocable trust will also save fees. And this goes to estate administration alpha, investing in these revocable trusts to save on fees after we pass away. Long-term care insurance. So long-term care insurance can be and continues to be an issue where the insurance companies are trying to make this a profit center that is enduring. But as luck would have it, people are living, or bad luck for them, and people are living longer. people's cost of health continue to go higher. And the result is that when they become incapacitated, in total, the investments that people have made in long-term care policies are winding up to be a great deal for the owners of the policy, but not so great necessarily for the insurance companies. So insurance companies have moved out of the business, have moved out of certain states, have changed their plans, have raised their rates. What that says to me, however, is that we still, more than ever, we need to be addressing that because it continues to be a very good deal. My dad has long-term care insurance for my mom, and it will be one of the things that we will use if and when the time comes. What I can tell you is it's a stressful situation when you've worked all your life, and here my dad is writing out a check for $7,500 a month. The irony of that is that he lived a child of the Depression, you know, lived very, very modestly. I remember stopping at Days Inn all the way to Disney World in the early 70s. And if we spent $49 a night, we all felt like we were kings and queens driving there. Today, my dad is spending more than if he had a suite at the Ritz-Carlton looking over Central Park. So the long-term care insurance is a critical, critical way to invest in the potential need that you have down the road. Some of the more enlightened approaches to long-term care include purchasing life insurance, and they're bolting on a long-term care insurance adjunct to that, which will allow the premiums that were paid and are building up cash value for a life insurance premium to be used to pay for long-term care needs. We think that all of the new ways of solving for expensive health costs are the same way we're constantly trying to solve for common colds and cholesterol. We just got to keep on the front end of the curve and addressing this, but we can't say when they get it right. We've got to embrace what is available now for we not know what the future brings. So again, emphasis on long-term care. Number eight on this list here is to protect your inheritance by leaving the assets in trust for your children. It is so easy to say, and we were just in with lovely clients who said, you know, my children are all doing fantastically well. Our estate is below the federal exemption. Is there any other reason to do trust planning? And, of course, the answer to that is you're leaving the assets to your children to solve for estate tax, if there is none, then to solve for protecting them from themselves. If that is not an issue, then the third is to solve for protecting them from others. Even the best marriages suffer strains and sometimes divorces. Maybe there is your child's car is in the driveway and there's black ice and slides into the intersection and hits X, Y, and Z, whose children are Harvard lawyers and would like nothing more than to try to achieve the highest award for their family. You've worked too hard, and if the insurance is not there to protect, we at least want to address what you've done in addition to the insurance. And having these assets in trust for your children will protect your hard work. Or those of you who are children who would be receiving these assets from your folks, encourage them to leave them to you in a trust. You will be the trustee. You will manage them, but they will be protected from third parties on the outside. There are a significant amount of income tax issues, generation skipping tax, and lifetime tax issues that are in flux right now. Number one is with the federal tax at over $11 million in exemptions, we know that that only lasts until 2024 when the exemption snaps back. We cannot anticipate that it will go much higher given that Donald Trump and the Republicans who control both the House and Senate got that number with all of their effort, and even that number reverses over the next 5 years. So the key piece here is to embrace what's outstanding right now. The drawbridge is open. Take your carts, which are out in the fields, and bring them into the castle and do the planning while it exists before the drawbridge goes up. Equally, people are concerned about the new rules that are impacting our ability to deduct income tax. So some have argued that this was the Republican administration's effort to penalize those states which typically voted blue and also had large social services programs like states along the West Coast, states like Illinois, and of course in the Northeast, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, where you have a large state income tax, which could be close to 10% of your annual income. In the old days, that was offset, that payment was offset against your federal returns. And so there was some consolation. Equally, if you had a very high property tax, is another way to fund programs in the more states that have high social programs. Property taxes were also deductible, but there's a limit on how much you can deduct today as well. So people are saying, should I just pack up, load up the camels, and make the trek to a state like Texas or to Florida or to Wyoming or others, Nevada, where there is no income tax? And the answer is maybe. One client was speaking to me about his colleagues who are otherworldly with respect to their net worth, who are leaving the Northeast and setting up shop in places like Palm Beach, Miami Beach, and so forth, where there's no state income tax. The question here is that if President Trump and the next election will bear out some of the direction here, will we see a reversal on the tax deductibility of state income tax to pay homage to the states who voted in these Democrats that come in and their constituents and allow for the deduction of return? Moving is a big issue. There's no question about it. Paying a 10% state income tax, however, is also something to consider. And even if we get a deduction and the Democrats reverse this and roll it back, it's still not as good as being in a state where there is no tax. There are some wonderful strategies, though, in the meantime, as you deliberate, and those are to set up trusts in states that have no state income tax. Delaware and South Dakota, Delaware and Nevada, are two of the states that we've seen great, great work being done. And both each of you and your children can take advantage of trust planning in those states where if there's going to be a significant gain from the sale of a business or a monetizing event from an asset that you've held for a long time, or just a significant amount of assets under management that you're paying $500,000 of state tax, income tax, or $1 million in state income tax on an annual basis or more, that putting this into a trust in Delaware or Nevada can eliminate the state tax part of the quotient. A continued focus on this call about alpha, and here it's tax, income tax alpha, doing strategies to minimize that tax. Imagine if you took 10% of your return on your investment portfolio every year, what a tax drag that is. And no tax benefit on the federal level. Imagine if you would put that in trust and that 10% is eliminated. So we're finding this to be one of the busiest parts of our practice now as clients are trying to solve for the temporary or potentially permanent state income tax piece. The final piece, and please take a chance if you can to look at our website. We just completed a firm video which spoke about, which speaks and talks to the topic of not just planning your estate, but preparing your heirs for the inheritance. And it is not unusual for people to be profoundly taciturn or quiet or nonverbal when it comes to discussing the estate with their children or grandchildren. And there are a multitude of justifications. I don't want to create conflict today. I don't want my children to feel pressure or guilty. I don't want my children to treat us differently when they find out. And all of those are reasonable. But on the other hand, we are back to giving our children the fish rather than teaching them how to fish. It is why I'm in this business, because 35 years ago, my grandfather, 40 years ago, had a phenomenally successful business. did not really have the acumen or the tools through his professionals at that point, who were very, very smart, but very little experience in trusts and estates and just took his directives, did not have the experience to say, well, will this work well? How has this plan been stress tested when it goes down to G2 or Generation 2, much less Generation 3? And so having these conversations, and we encourage you to come in and with your parents or with your children and having family meetings. It's the next elevated approach to having an orderly transfer of assets to the following generation and in allowing them to work together in unity as my brother and sister and I are working on behalf of the welfare of my mother and honoring the request that my father had before he left this earth. So I leave you with the ideas that, yes, we're always talking about estate planning as a science. There are methodologies and there are formulae that we use to help you minimize tax. That is the science piece. But there's also a very important part, which is the art, the left brain part of the work we do. And our best plans, and frankly, our day-to-day charge, is to incorporate not just the scientific part of the plan, but also to include the science. So with that, I wish you a great day. Dad, thanks for looking out for me and the family, and miss you dearly. And folks, we look forward to having you come in, give us a call up, and we can spend some time and chat with your specific issues. God bless.